Collins show that's coming up next right after the CBS News. Have a great afternoon, and thank you for giving me this day.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. O.J. Simpson is still in jail. He's most famous for winning the criminal trials in the murders of his wife and a friend, but losing the wrongful death case in civil court. Now, he faces armed robbery charges in Las Vegas.
He could be held up to 72 hours from the time of his arrest without seeing a judge, without having a charging document given to him.
This is Steve Futterman in Las Vegas. O.J. Simpson remains in jail, and he's likely to stay there until at least Wednesday. That's when formal charges are expected to be filed against him. Once those charges are filed, the former football star will appear in court, and the issue of bail will be discussed. For the moment, Simpson is being held without bail. Court officials say he is viewed as a potential flight risk.
President Bush's nomination of former federal judge Michael Mukasey to be attorney general is being met with appreciation on Capitol Hill. CBS's Bob Fuss.
Democrats who'd warned they would block the president's reported first choice, Ted Olson, welcomed the nomination of Judge Mukasey. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid said he has strong professional credentials and a reputation for independence. Similar words from New York Democrat Chuck Schumer, who'd led the effort to oust Alberto Gonzalez. This doesn't mean they won't go over Mukasey's record with a fine-tooth comb, but Democrats say they're happy the president chose to avoid a major confrontation.
This time, Hillary Clinton says her universal health care proposal is not government health care.
We can no longer tolerate the injustice of a system that shuts out nearly 1 in 6 Americans.
The rest of Americans, she says, should pay to cover the insurance premiums of those who can't afford it. She estimates a beginning cost a bit more than the war in Iraq and Afghanistan is costing. CBS's Jim Axelrod.
The government's cost would be $110 billion a year, according to Senator Clinton's policy advisors. There would be some higher taxes for people making over $250,000 a year.
Expectations are money will become less expensive tomorrow if, when, the Fed cuts interest rates. The real estate market has some high hopes.
Happy days would be here again? Not quite. There's an obvious slowdown in home sales. But Lawrence Ewan, economist for the National Association of Realtors, says thanks to the Fed, adjustable rate payments won't rocket upward.
It will lower the home equity loans and also some of the resetting loans to a less burdensome rate.
He says a quarter point cut now, another quarter of a point soon, and you'll have Americans buying homes again. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
It's the hottest new tourist destination in the land of 10,000 lakes. Minnesota, a beautiful state with many great assets, has been drawing a crowd in Minneapolis. And it's not the collapsed bridge, either. It's the men's bathroom at the Minneapolis airport where Senator Larry Craig may have met his Waterloo when he was arrested in a gay sex sting. On Wall Street, the Dow down 39 points today. NASDAQ lost 20 and a half. Oil, $80.57 a barrel, up $1.47. This is CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Do you know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot Work-Life Rewards Program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases. Plus, 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done. Oh, no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Is there a safety hazard with one of the most popular shoes among young people, known as Crocs? CBS's Karen Regal.
What makes those trendy soft clogs so popular could make them dangerous on escalators. The literal sticking point is the softness and the thick treads. Accidents have so gone up in the Washington, D.C. subway system that officials have put up signs warning people wearing any brand of the big soft shoes to get some cardio and take the stairs.
You know the old story that the reason we don't throw rice at weddings anymore is because supposedly the rice swells up in the stomachs of the birds that eat it and could kill them. Instead, we blow bubbles in many cases. Well, turns out maybe that's not it. In Venice, Italy, officials are considering a ban on using rice at weddings because it does just the opposite. The rice feeds the pigeons, helps expand the pigeon population. Too many pigeons already, so they're saying, out with the rice. Guess it'll be bubbles in Italy, too. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. Live today in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Sitting in for the vacationing Christine Kraft. We're live in Montana on Big Sky Radio, KBSR 1490. And our usual left coast stations in Monterey, Eureka, and Coos Bay, Oregon. A lot of people listen online, too, through the links at peterbcollins.com. Wherever you are, however you listen, welcome to the program. We got plenty to talk about today. General Petraeus is going to be mentioned quite a few times, I just predict. And last week, he had such a tough time when Senator Warner asked him if America is safer because of the war in Iraq. And I require no equivocation. I think America is slightly safer today because O.J. Simpson is behind bars in Las Vegas. Yeah, just trying to collect his stuff. On today's program, we're going to critique the media's performance during a critical week last week. The surge report from General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker, Jameson Foser from Media Matters will join us in a moment. Later this hour, Bill Scheer, he's the online editor at OurFuture.org. We're going to talk about gasoline prices and the new record price of a barrel of crude oil on the world market and other issues, too, with Bill. And then we're going to take a look at some foreign policy issues. Aziz Fouk is director of the Liberty and National Security Project at the Brennan Center. We'll get his thoughts on the new nominee for Attorney General from the Bush administration. It's Judge Mukasey. And we're also going to talk about a number of other issues related to human rights and the new book by Jack Goldsmith, who left the Bush administration because he's not totally into torture, but he supports it pretty much right down the line. Also, Hussein Haqqani will join us today, director of the Center for International Relations at Boston University. And we're going to talk about the situation in Pakistan, which is very volatile and changing by the minute.
I think we'll find that interesting. And then another brief look at the Mukasey nomination from Shane Katadal, who is one of the staff attorneys at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York. And they, of course, have taken the lead in defending detainees at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere. And that's one of the issues that caused President Bush to select Mukasey. While he did support the administration on some issues related to the detention of Jose Padilla, it wasn't just a rubber stamp, and it makes him a very interesting nominee. So that's all ahead, plus your phone calls. You can dial in at any moment, 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Jameson Foser is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, and he has a column there at MediaMatters.org that's worth reading every week. J-Mo, welcome to the program today.
Hi, Peter. Thanks a lot.
Nice to talk with you. And if you're unfamiliar with Media Matters, they do a great job. They monitor the corporate mainstream media in this country, and when they find things that don't add up, they disclose it to us, along with links and other sources to identify the real truth. It's an excellent effort, and I find it very valuable. J-Mo, let's talk about what the American people absorbed last week. The polls show that while the efforts of Petraeus and Crocker got a lot of media attention, one poll I saw that was taken 2 days after the Senate testimony showed that a movement of only 2% in terms of public opinion in support of the president's position. And meanwhile, most people have reached a low point in their measure, their perception of the president's credibility. And it seems that this massive exercise and the media coverage of it has done nothing more than confuse a lot of issues, such as, well, are we successful in Iraq these days?
You know, that poll result you mentioned is interesting in light of how much the media built up David Petraeus in advance of his testimony as this giant figure who was more credible than anyone ever to have lived and really the ultimate word on everything.
They spent
weeks and months building this guy up.
Do you see all those?
He didn't move any public opinion.
Do you see all those medals on his chest? I mean, Wolf Blitzer was gushing over it. The New York Times had a little picture box showing each one of them, and we were trying to figure out which one was the waterboarding medal.
Yeah, CNN last week actually did a segment that Blitzer did that you were referring to there, where Blitzer walked viewers through each one of the medals on Petraeus' chest, and we got on screen these big close-ups of the medals. And, you know, I think most people appreciate the service that David Petraeus has given to his country that earned those medals, but he should really be judged on the content of his testimony rather than on the medals on his chest. That's the wrong way to go about things, frankly. And if the media had spent a little bit more time assessing what he was actually saying and how that meshed with the facts that we've seen elsewhere, that might have been a better use of time than just constantly building this guy up as somebody who should be listened to because of who he is rather than because of what he's saying. And as it turns out, the American people weren't buying it. As you mentioned, that poll showed very little movement. There was actually a Rasmussen poll a couple days after his testimony that also didn't show particularly good results for Petraeus and for Bush, though the media spun it as a sign of success. The Hill, which is a Washington, D.C. newspaper that covers Capitol Hill and Congress and politics, ran an article about this poll with the headline saying that there was solid support for the Petraeus plan. The poll actually found 43% of Americans, that's less than half, supported the Petraeus plan, and 38% opposed it. So barely more people supported it than opposed it. But the other thing that's significant there is that the poll question itself was just horrible. It was basically useless. It asked people if they supported the Petraeus plan, as though most people know who Petraeus is, the Petraeus plan to withdraw 30,000 soldiers from Iraq but leave 130,000 in place through the summer. Now, it didn't give people the option to say they want to bring more troops than that home. So you could have people answering yes because they wanted to bring some home, and some is better than none. You could have people answering yes because they didn't want to bring a lot home. So it was a really awful question that doesn't actually tell us anything about what people think. But The Hill hyped it as a sign that Petraeus had been successful in selling Bush's plan. I guess it's not surprising, given how much they hyped him on the way in, that they'd hype him on the way out. But it doesn't seem that public opinion's actually been changed very much.
Yeah. And maybe this is out of character for me, but let me kind of turn things around for a moment, JMO. Did you find any really good coverage that you felt was on the mark that helped people understand what Petraeus and Crocker were saying while providing adequate context about the conflicts between their testimony and this avalanche of reports that we have seen since early August?
Well, there was some very good reporting leading up to Petraeus' testimony. A lot of bad reporting and a lot of reporting that just typed him as the final word on anything. But there were some very good reports. There was a Karen DeYoung piece in the Washington Post that got a lot of attention in which she detailed basically the way the Pentagon is cooking the numbers here, and she actually revealed that when the Defense Department says that violence in Iraq is down and sectarian violence is down, you really need to take that with a grain of salt, because they've decided to count, if somebody gets shot in the head, in the front of the head, they count it as sectarian violence, but if they get shot in the back of the head, they count it as just criminal violence. Now, that's pretty bizarre.
Yes,
and that was a great piece of reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And there were others like that in the run-up to Petraeus' testimony. I can't off the top of my head think of news coverage of Petraeus' testimony that I think really stood out.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there were some people who took factual looks at his testimony. But it wasn't any kind of sustained thing. And what you see all too often is you'll see a good individual piece of reporting, a good newspaper article or a good television report that will expose some of the inconsistencies in the Bush administration's claims or factual misstatements.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next day, the same news organization will report the factually incorrect claim without noting, hey, yesterday we showed you this was false.
Mm-hmm.
So you see good one-time news reports, but the problem is that they don't seem to sustain that type of coverage, and they don't seem to use what they showed on Monday in the reports on Tuesday and Wednesday.
JMO, you and I have talked often critically about Chris Matthews and Hardball, and I'm not retracting anything that I've said in the past. But I did notice a shift in tone in the past 10 days or so. David Schuster is the assigned reporter for that program, and he had a very, I think, a fairly comprehensive and pretty critical package about Petraeus that I believe ran on Wednesday or Thursday last week. And I've noticed a shift in the guest lineup on the program. Instead of just having Tom DeLay solo talk about Larry Craig's ethics, they actually had Marcos from the Daily Kos on last week, and he wasn't on with a conservative. I believe the other guy on with him was from Vote Vets, which is a progressive Iraqi veterans activist group. And there were a number of interviews with Democratic senators that, again, were not packaged the way they usually are with a Republican to immediately rebut what was said. So I'm going to keep monitoring that, but I wanted to put it out to you because I have noticed a slight shift in the tone of that program.
Well, that's great to hear, and those reports sound like they're definitely improvements for that show. I should note that just last week, Chris Matthews invoked the specter of Vince Foster's death in discussing Hillary Clinton, which is among the craziest of the right-wing anti-Clinton conspiracy theories that's been investigated by countless government agencies and news organizations, and everybody's concluded that he committed suicide, but that hasn't stopped the conspiracy theorists from thinking that maybe he was murdered, and there was Chris Matthews invoking it yet again. So he still has some ways to go.
Well, and he was drooling all over Laura Ingraham in the same style he does for Ann Coulter.
He was. He gushed about her looks and about her looks and her books, basically. And also, within the last week or so, we've seen him go on and on and on about Rudy Giuliani and being a street corner conservative. I don't even know what that means, but Chris Matthews liked it and said, it works for me, which is just another in a long line of his gushing about Republican candidates.
Well, we're going to take a break and return with Jameson Foser from MediaMatters.org. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 18 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105. Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
The term UFO is too easy to debunk. Instead, for a quantum leap in mind consciousness, consider extraterrestrial and spirit contact. Consider the rhetorical quantum question, why not, as opposed to the old paradigm of why. Why not will allow you more freedom to make statements, ask questions, receive answers. New concepts are really old concepts rediscovered. Take the quantum leap at 11 a.m. Saturday on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host doing double duty today. I'll be live on Air America coast to coast, 7 to 10 Pacific time tonight.
What fact is in your mind? Not the present or the past. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Bring back the 60s, man.
Oh, that's Country Joe. He just did the Summer of Love Festival in Golden Gate Park over the Labor Day weekend. And that, of course, is the sanitized version of the Fish Cheer, which takes us back to the great protest rallies of the Vietnam era. We're talking with Jameson Foser from Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org. And Dave is on the line with from Eureka with a very important question. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Peter, thank you. And J-Mo, The media is failing us big time. So severely misleading us in a few areas. I'd like to just mention a couple. One of them was 2 days ago, all over this country, thousands of people showed up, hundreds of thousands, for demonstrations, and the press chose to look the other way. This is something they didn't feel they were supposed to report on.
And, Dave, Internet accounts show that there were 100,000 in Washington alone. I can't vouch for the credibility of the number, but that's the report I've seen.
We had about 200 here in Eureka. But the thing is, this same press that is so controlled by big corporate special interests is telling us that Dennis Kucinich doesn't have a chance, and that whenever there's a poll that doesn't involve the press, Kucinich is beating Hillary 20 to 25 to 1. Edwards, too, but they both are saying health care for all. How would you pay for it? I would roll back the tax cut. And they take that as a stab in the back. The neocons, they press, play them down. And they do.
All right. Let's get a comment, J-Mo.
You know, this point the caller made about the media ignoring anti-war protests is really an important one, and it's something that a lot of reporters and a lot of news organizations have acknowledged they did a bad job of in the run-up to the Iraq War. They didn't pay enough attention to anti-war voices, and like I said, a lot of them acknowledge this, but they're still doing it. They're still not paying enough attention to anti-war voices.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I touched on in my column last week, that it's great that they've acknowledged doing a poor job in late 2002 and early 2003, but they need to start doing a better job now. One of the great examples of this is Tim Russert, who hosts Meet the Press on NBC. He said earlier this year in a special that Bill Moyers put together about media coverage of the Iraq War, Russert seemed to complain that there wasn't an opposition party during the debate over whether or not to go to Iraq, that maybe the media would have done a better job if there was an opposition party, suggesting that Democrats went along with the war. Well, the reality is that a majority of congressional Democrats voted against the authorization to use force in Iraq. But that didn't show up in Meet the Press guest lists at the time. In 2003, in the months before we went to war in Iraq, Tim Russert had almost three times as many Democrats on who had voted for the use of force as those who had voted against the use of force, despite the fact that most Democrats voted against it. So it wasn't that there wasn't an opposition party, it was that Tim Russert ignored the opposition party. You fast forward to 2006, when Democrats won this massive election victory last November, and in large part due to the American people's outrage and opposition to the Iraq War, and who does Tim Russert have on his first show after Election Day? He has two of the most prominent supporters of the Iraq War on. No opponents, just John McCain and Joe Lieberman. No Democrats, and no opponents of the Iraq War. In the first edition of Meet the Press, after the Iraq War and the American people's opposition to the Iraq War was probably the dominant issue in Democrats winning big. So again, the issue isn't that there aren't opponents of this war. The opponents of this war are now a clear majority of the American people. It's that the media continues to overlook them.
And Tim Russert has this bulldog countenance, and he has an interesting style where he likes to trap people with their own sound bites. But because he fails to follow up, and he usually will accept a spun answer and then just move on to his next question with a tough veneer and maybe a sound bite to try to entrap his subject, the net effect is not a bulldog, but really closer to a chihuahua. And it's frustrating because, you know, you have Russert, Jim Lehrer over at the NewsHour, and these are the people who practice that craft, and this is a contextual comment, but they're the best at it. And we are suffering as a country because we don't have hard-hitting journalist reporters who take these people on. I saw Lehrer's interview with Robert Gates over the weekend. He didn't lay a glove on the guy. He just let him spin and spin and spin.
Yeah, a lot of reporters think that's their role. Their role is just to bring you what the parties say and what the government says and not question it, just tell you what they said. You know, another great example, though, of media continuing, despite the fact that public opinion is so solidly against this war, to really ignore or downplay anti-war voices is CNN's coverage of Petraeus' testimony. They had one analyst on.
10 seconds, go ahead.
multiple times during the day, they had David Gergen on, and David Gergen on unopposed to talk about Petraeus' testimony. David Gergen is a close personal friend of David Petraeus'.
Got to stop there. J-Mo, thanks for your work. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Glad you're with us here on this Monday afternoon. My lines are open for you whenever you'd like to join the conversation. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's 34 minutes past the hour, and joining me now is Bill Scherer. He is with Our Future. That's the Campaign for America's Future. Their website is at ourfuture.org, and he is the online editor and a guy with, well, like me, he's burdened with too many opinions. Welcome, Bill.
It's great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and you understand the condition, and you have a couple of choices. Psychotherapy, which is intensive and intimate and very expensive, or you can blog or do a radio show or be a journalist, and it helps you unload those toxic opinions that, you know, if you leave them inside, can just fester and, well, leave you angry and resentful and cynical.
Give you ulcers.
Yeah, yeah. So before we dive into what's on the blog, and I want to talk with you a little bit about crude oil and prices at the pump, can I vent just a little bit?
By all means.
It's an Internet thing, and since you're an online editor, maybe you can help me with this. But I have a little production company, and I've had a website for 8 or 9 years, and for the last 6 years, the URL was registered with register.com. And I'd like to share this story as a cautionary tale to other people who may have done business with register.com. But they're one of the highest-priced, Internet facilitators. I forget what they're called. I had a credit card signed up, and every year would just automatically renew, and I get the bill. I think it's $25 or something like that. And this year, my credit card expired, and so they sent me a new one with the exact same number. But because the expiration date had arrived, register.com didn't process the payment. And they didn't tell me for 8 months. And then they said, well, you know, we can put your website back up within 24 hours. We just need $160. And I said, what? And I explained the whole story. I said, you know, this was not an intentional cancellation or anything like that. You guys screwed up. And now you want me to pay $160 to reinstate my website? And they said, oh, yeah. And I, you know, escalated to the top authorities there, and nobody was budging. They threw me one bone. For the $160, I get a 2-year renewal. And I told them, I said, this will be my last 2 years with register.com. I said, you're going to win this battle, and you're going to lose a customer. And they said, oh, okay. So
do you risk losing your domain name if you don't play ball with them?
Well, it was in play, and theoretically, the Republican National Committee could have tried to pick it up in the breach there. But fortunately, nobody did, and so I have retained it without having to pay huge blackmail fees, you know, like McDonald's did.
Right.
But I had to vent, and I don't know if you've had experiences like that, but we are captive to many of these players. And I don't know about you, but when a domain name comes up for renewal, I hear from 6 different people offering to renew it for me at rates from $6 a year up to $35 a year. And, the whole thing is kind of murky and,
Internet's still very new, and it's still kind of Wild West out there, and there's all sorts of fine print that we're just sort of learning exists. And one can only hope that, you know, if these types of practices where that's effective blackmail, that's the kind of thing where we have a government. We have a representative government that when the people petition it to say there are these unfair practices going on, we do this in banking all the time, they can come in and say, you know what, that is fundamentally unfair, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, you want to keep record of these things, find out maybe it's not just me. Other companies might be doing this too, and then we can say this is a widespread problem that needs some government correction.
Well, if anybody else had this kind of experience of being shaken down over a domain name renewal, drop me an email at, this one still works, peter@peterbcollins.com. I paid for that one. Now, Bill, I want to be clear to listeners that I'm not relating these two subjects except that they are connected to the Internet. We've seen in the last 2 weeks discussions for an administrative end run at the FCC which would impose an end of net neutrality. And what that means is that the Amazon website would load in a second and a half, and peterbcollins.com, unless I pay a higher freight, would take 2 days to load. That's an extreme expression of the loss of net neutrality, but that's the best way I can explain it.
That's a great way to explain it.
What is the status, and are we going to see the Bush administration basically impose this by fiat?
Well, something to be concerned about. I mean, anything that they try to do by fiat can be overruled through congressional action. So we still have some shred of democracy left in the Bush era. But we should recognize that everyone loves the Internet. The Internet is a great thing that we all get to use. We all get to use it equally. The reason we have a blogosphere with thriving discussion and dialogue and discourse is because everyone can access it. At relatively low cost. And that is not just something that happened magically. That's not the free market that made that happen. It's government regulation. This is a government-created enterprise, and it can only be protected if the public is engaged in keeping it that way. If we go to sleep and let a handful of special interests dictate how the Internet's going to be structured, you're going to have not a neutral system where we all get to play at the same on the same playing field, but it's going to be favored to a handful of corporate interests, and all of blogging, organizations like Move On can't send emails out as quickly as they can now. All sorts of things are not going to happen the ways that we take for granted right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure, we have to watch what the executive branch is trying to do if they are going to try to pull this end run. If they do, we have to engage our representatives to make sure that they undo that.
Now, I am not asleep at the mouse here, and I'm willing to conspire. What do you say that, you know, like everybody gathers together next week, and we all forward every penis enlargement email offer we get to Kevin Martin, the baby-faced chairman of the FCC? What do you think?
That, sir, is genius.
And all those offers from Nigeria. we should just jam him with spam, and, you know, the message at the end of each one should be, net neutrality, please.
Brilliant.
Bill Scherer is with us. He is the online editor at OurFuture.org, and this is your invitation to visit their website. Bob Borisage, a co-chair of the Campaign for America's Future, was on with us last week. They do a lot of great work on progressive issues, policy, and activism. And, Bill, you do a blog there that I'd like people to check out. And just go to OurFuture.org, and what's the best link into the blogs there? Because the URL for the blog is long, and...
That's more convoluted. We're working on that. OurFuture.org is the best place to go. All of our blog headlines are right there at the top of the screen, mostly by me and the great Rick Perlstein.
Yeah.
And you also see blogs by Bob Borisage and Roger Hickey, our co-directors, from time to time as well. So it's a pretty active blog. We're staying on top of a whole host of issues there, so I certainly encourage people to make that a regular stop.
And tell us about the Weekend Watchdog. On Fridays and Mondays, you have a kind of effort to monitor the Sunday talk shows, which, by the way, I avoid at all costs.
Well, I don't blame you, but I think it's important. So I might try to persuade you to start watching them now based on this. This is not just an attempt to monitor the shows. It's an attempt to influence the shows in a positive way. So what I do on Friday evenings, you can see the guests that are booked on each show on Friday. And so what I do on OurFuture.org is I will come up with three questions that should be asked to selected guests. And then I include the contact information for the show, so you can forward those questions onto the producers over the weekend, or come up with your own. You add them in the blog comment threads and forward your questions on as well. And so if the producers see that a critical mass of people want a certain question asked, we can actually get these hosts to ask real questions, substantive questions, not the kind of namby-pamby stuff that we tend to see on Sunday. So to hold their feet to the fire, I then do a follow-up post, not just on Monday, but on the Sam Cedar Show on Air America Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m., we revisit and see, did the watchdog questions get asked or not?
Mm-hmm. And what's the batting average so far, Bill?
Batting average is very... very poor.
All right, let me.
0-3 tends to be the way it goes, but about every 4 weeks or so, we sneak one by.
Okay, so then what is your success? let me give you a little example here of how to spin this. Okay, last week Bush used the term success to say that we are bringing troops home, that we're coming home anyway. And one wag beat me to it. As soon as I heard him say it, I said, well, next he'll take credit for the sunrise. And I did see the next day somebody got that comment out in the public before I did. But you need to put this in terms of your success. And so give us a couple of examples, against all odds, of how you've been able to influence the questions asked on the Sunday chat shows.
I'm trying to, you know, because the times when we get one in all candor, is usually when I set the bar pretty low. I throw a gimme in for them that is so patently obvious it'd be such a crime if they didn't ask it. And even then, you know, one out of five times, you know, 4 out of 5 times, they still don't ask the obvious question.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to pat myself on the back just yet. I think we need to get more people involved in this. It can't just be me putting up the blog post.
Right.
It's got to be, you get 500 people to send an email in to ask this question, that gets people's eyebrows raised.
Mm-hmm.
That's what needs to happen. And so once that happens, I'm quite confident that we'll see these questions. Because I see them. When they do get emails, I will see a Tim Russert or a George Stephanopoulos say, we got a lot of emails on this.
Mm-hmm.
But when it does happen, they notice.
Oh, okay.
They want to cater to their audience. This is how, you know, it's a corporate media, and you can rail against that or you can use that to your advantage.
Now, do you encourage people not to cut and paste your questions? Because if I were George Stephanopoulos or Tim Russert, and I see the exact same wording coming in, even if it's a question that I'm inclined to ask, I say, well, I don't want to be the monkey who just, lets people dictate to him. And the fact that 50 of these came in just means that, you know, there are 50 people who want to hear this question. And again, it's kind of like the way people write letters to the editor or letters to Congress members.
It's a fair point, but I generally don't sweat that because I try to write the questions in a way that's a professional way. That's a legitimate question. That's not just a way for me to rant and rave. So all I'm trying to do is to get that question in front of their eyes, and what I hope is that it includes information that they might not be aware of. And just beginning the 500 people, just to put it in front of them, even if it's done in that kind of, you know, cut-and-paste way, just so they see it, I'm betting that they'll say, that's a decent question. Clearly there's people who watch my show who want me to ask it, and it can go forward.
Right. Well, and maybe we should play to, for example, Tim Russert's shtick, which we were talking about this just before you came on with Jameson Fozer from MediaMatters.org. And, you know, what Russert likes to do is get a guest and try to embarrass them with a soundbite that they uttered sometime in the past that appears to contradict a current position. And so maybe we could do some of the homework for Russert and identify those embarrassing clips and, then encourage him to actually follow up, not just play the clip and let somebody spin their way out of it.
Well, that's exactly what I tried to do this past weekend. You know, Robert Gates, the defense secretary, he was on two of the shows. And all I did, this is pretty basic journalism, I went back and read his testimony from December when he was up to be confirmed for defense secretary. And he said then that, you know, our military wins all of their battles. Our primary challenge is stability and political development. So he was saying before the surge that the military part wasn't the problem. It was the political stuff. And in Bush's address to the nation last week, he's the guy that said, I know the Iraqi government has not met its own legislative benchmarks. So based on what Robert Gates said himself, this strategy over the last 8 months hasn't worked. It's perfectly appropriate to say, this is what you said in December. How does that stack up with the situation on the ground now?
Now, this is a great setup. Bill, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk about a post that you issued last week drawing on ancient history, comments of George W. Bush, the candidate, during the 2000 campaign about how he was the guy who we could elect so that we could see lower prices at the gas pump in this country. We'll pick up there as we continue in a moment. You got a question or comment? Bill Scher is with us for another segment. Call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And visit our website at peterbcollins.com. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
On the Peter B. Collins Show.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there, well out there, yeah, I was out of.
Dedicate that to OJ. He thought what happens in Vegas actually stays in Vegas. Another fool for marketing. I'm Peter B. Collins. Bill Scher is with us. He is the online editor at OurFuture.org, the website of the Campaign for America's Future. He spells his last name S-C-H-E-R. Any relation to Danny Scher, the concert promoter on the left coast?
Sadly not. No, okay. Free concert tickets for me.
All right. What about Michael Scher, who used to write for Mother Jones, and I guess he's at Salon now?
Is it Scher or Scherer?
S-C-H-E-R is how he spells it the same way as you.
The same way. I don't believe so, actually. I think the share bloodline has narrowed considerably. There are a lot of other shares out there that are unrelated to me.
All right. Well, Bill, I wanted to ask you about a post you put up last week about the new world record in crude oil prices. We surpassed $80 a barrel last week. And it's interesting because for the first time in the last 10 years or so, we actually have an average lower price for gas in California than in many, Midwest and Eastern urban areas. And
I've caught up with you.
Well, you've caught up with us because we used to pay a quarter more than anybody else in the country, and they blamed it on our California requirements for reformulated fuels. And, of course, we know that the refineries shut down whenever capacity starts to build so that they can reduce the supply and jack up the price.
And there have been congressional investigations about that very point before.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote that it was George W. Bush from the oil patch there in Midland, Texas, who promised Americans in 2000 that his buddies at OPEC would make sure that the spigots are turned on and we'd never have to pay $3 for a gallon of gas.
It was June of 2000 when he was running for president. The price of oil per barrel for the bulk of the Clinton administration was around $20 a barrel. But at that point, it had gone up to around $30. And so it was a bit of an issue. And he said, well, you can trust me because the capital that I'm going to create, that I'm going to build with the Saudis and the Kuwaitis, is going to give me the ability to pressure them to turn on the spigot and create more supply. And he ended his soliloquy to the press by saying, the fundamental question is, will I be a successful president in foreign policy? That's his standard from June of 2000. When oil was at $30 a barrel, and now, as you said, it's at $80. And this is a question of one, energy policy and foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a president that has subsidized dirty fossil fuels, subsidized coal and oil, and effectively starved renewable fuels. Now, some people say, hey, you environmentalists are all a bunch of hypocrites. You want the price of oil to go sky high so they'll buy greener things, and you complain when gas prices go up.
Mm-hmm.
And the response is, well, yes, it would be good if oil prices were higher than greener fuels, if greener fuels were available, if they were affordable and accessible. And then it would be a good incentive to use the fuels that are better for everybody. But when you don't have that choice and you're addicted to oil, as George Bush told us very recently, then when the oil price gets jacked up, it just sticks you in the wall and there's nothing you can do about it. You still have to go back and forth from work, and you don't even know what to expect your yearly budget is going to be because the price of oil is so volatile. It's so unstable.
Well, and the benchmark price of crude also really sets the standard for profit exploitation by the American-based companies. For example, during a campaign to put an oil tax on oil produced in California last year, I learned for the first time that 42% of the gasoline we pump in California actually comes from crude that was drilled in California. So that the spot price of sweet crude from Saudi Arabia doesn't necessarily have to impact the cost of a gallon of gas at the pump here in California by its full effect, because we're not importing every barrel at the $80 price. The $80 world price makes a lot of oil that's in the ground in California and in Texas worth pumping. And it wasn't worth pumping at $20 or $30 a barrel. And we see it in the quarterly reports of ExxonMobil, Chevron, Texaco, and the rest of them.
So it's all sorts of games being played there that Bush has had nothing to fix. Then the bigger question is, as he said, what about his foreign policy? And there are a lot of folks, that, whether you're for or against the war, that I'm sure thought going into Iraq was going to give us cheaper oil, when the opposite was true. You know, trying to control their oil flow, as several Republican senators and Alan Greenspan just recently has said explicitly, was the underlying motivation of going in.
Well, let's take this out of context from Greenspan. In his book that was published today, he says that the Iraq war is largely about oil. And I'm admitting that's out of context. He added some qualifiers to it.
He did, although he said himself, I'm for us going in for oil. I'm for us going in to control oil flow on the notion this would be a more stable method of keeping our energy supply going. But the opposite is proven true. You try to occupy a sovereign nation, you destabilize that nation, you destabilize that region, and your oil supply becomes less stable and prices go through the roof.
And as Greg Pallast has pointed out, the beauty of the Iraq occupation is that it's kept billions of barrels of oil off the market to make
exactly.
that Texas and California and Saudi crude worth even more. Bill Scherr, thanks for joining us today. Read all about him at ourfuture.org and just look for the blog there with Bill Scherr. Thank you, Bill. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The following is a test of the emergency alert system in accordance with regulations of the Federal Communications Commission. This station is testing its emergency alert system equipment. This is only a test. This has been a test of the emergency alert system. We now return you to regular programming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The healthcare debate heats up.
America needs to provide health insurance for all Americans.
Michael Mukasey is nominated for Attorney General.
Judge Mukasey's clear-eyed about the threat our nation faces.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Hillary Clinton led the charge for health care reform when her husband was president and was quickly knocked off her horse. Now, running for the White House in her own right, she's mounted up again with a new plan for universal health care.
Here in America, people are dying because they couldn't get the care they needed when they were sick.
CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod has the highlights.
Essentially, Senator Clinton would want all Americans to be required to purchase health insurance, and then businesses would have to offer insurance to employees or pay into a pool for the uninsured, and no insurance company could refuse anybody coverage because of pre-existing conditions.
To buy health care for the poor, Clinton estimates the government would spend $110 billion a year. She says she'd raise the money by rolling back the Bush administration's tax breaks for the wealthy. Republicans call the plan socialized medicine and say it'll turn out to be much more expensive than the senator claims. A CBS News poll finds most Americans want something done.
The American public continues to be dissatisfied with health care in the U.S. 66% say they're very or somewhat dissatisfied with the quality of health care available here, and 81% are very or somewhat dissatisfied with the cost of health care.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit. CBS's Jim Taylor reports that the American Cancer Society is shifting its focus from urging prevention to campaigning for better health care.
What we're talking about here is unprecedented. American Cancer Society taking the biggest step ever into the politics of health care reform. All $15 million in its advertising budget is being spent on behalf of Americans with too little health insurance, or none at all.
Now this.
Hi, I'm a Han Desk, and all modesty aside, I'm pretty buff. I was built that way. Strong, dependable, handsome. I mean, take a gander at my drawers. Pretty sweet, huh? You want to slam them, don't you? Go ahead, slam my drawers. Is that all you got? Slam my fully extendable drawers like you mean it. Just tell me when you start.
Uh-huh, it's that tough. Hahn has a full line of durable office furniture, all backed by limited lifetime warranty. Learn more at GetHahn.com. GetHON.com. Hahn. Smart now, smarter later.
Taking care of business.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
At the White House today, President Bush introduced his choice to succeed Alberto Gonzalez.
I'm pleased to announce my nomination of Judge Michael Mukasey to be the 81st Attorney General of the United States.
Mukasey, 66, is a former federal judge in New York who presided over several big terrorism cases before he worked as a prosecutor under then-U.S. Attorney Rudolph Giuliani.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Given their experience with outgoing Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, Democrats can be expected to give a good grilling to any nominee. But by picking a respected former judge, President Bush has chosen to avoid a knockdown, drag-out fight over confirmation. Since Democrats charged Gonzalez had politicized the Justice Department, they made clear they would block any nominee they considered too partisan.
O.J. Simpson will cool his heels in a Las Vegas jail for a while. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is on that story.
O.J. Simpson's first court appearance is expected to be here Wednesday morning.
He could be held up to 72 hours from the time of his arrest without seeing a judge, without having a charging document given to him.
That's Judge Nancy Osterley speaking with reporters explaining the procedures here in Clark County. Simpson was arrested on Sunday. Under Nevada law, the district attorney must file formal charges by Wednesday. Otherwise, Simpson has to be released. The DA is expected to file those charges. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Clark County Courthouse in Las Vegas.
Stocks lost ground today. The Dow closed 39 points lower at 13,403. But the price of oil rose nearly a dollar and a half to settle above $80 a barrel. Phil Flynn of Aileron Trading says the market's betting on a rate cut by the Fed tomorrow.
I think that the fundamentals for oil are getting more bullish by the day. And if the economy survives the subprime crisis, then we're going to see the price of oil go substantially higher.
He notes the demand for gasoline remains strong despite high prices. GM and the United Auto Workers Union resume contract talks today. They're said to be making progress. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Do you know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot Work-Life Rewards Program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases. Plus, 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details.
Put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak, or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And if you can handle even another slice, I will be live tonight on Air America Coast to Coast. 7 to 10 Pacific time, 10 to 1 Eastern time. And if you're in the flyover states, you got to figure it out for yourselves. Coming up later this hour, Hussein Haqqani will join us, director of the Center for International Relations at Boston University. We're going to get the lowdown on what's going on in Pakistan, a very volatile situation right now. Country right or wrong? That's not my thought. Not when it comes to a violation of our Constitution, erosion of our civil liberties, the legalization of torture, the legalization of what I consider to be unlawful detention, the legalization of unlawful wiretapping and surveillance of American citizens. Aziz Huq returns to our program today. His last name is spelled H-U-Q, and he is co-author of a book called Unchecked and Unbalanced. He was on our program earlier this year and returns today. Aziz Huq, welcome.
Hi, Peter. It's good to be back.
Nice to talk with you. And Aziz Huq is also director of the Liberty and National Security Project at the Brennan Center at New York University and does a lot of excellent work there. Aziz, I wanted to start off by getting your reaction to the nomination announced by President Bush today of Judge Michael Mukasey, or I got to work on his name here, Mukasey, who is a man who did serve on the federal bench in New York City. And notably was one of the first to rule on issues related to the case of Jose Padilla, which you write about at some length in your book, Unchecked and Unbalanced.
That's right, Peter. Judge Mukasey sat in the trial court here in Manhattan and was one of the first judges to rule in an enemy combatant case. And he, on some issues, ruled in favor of the government, and on some issues ruled in favor of Padilla. So on the bottom line question of whether the government could seize a U.S. citizen and detain them without any adequate process in the United States, he ruled for the government on that sort of baseline, very core constitutional issue.
Right.
But he also, to be very fair, ruled for Padilla on several key questions, including the question whether Padilla could have access to his lawyers. And we know now that this question of denial of access to lawyers has been, for the government, a really big deal because it's the way that they ensure that they can keep detainees from the outside world and therefore keep coercively interrogating them.
Mm-hmm. And, Aziz, as I was refreshing myself on your book, which is called Unchecked and Unbalanced, and the subtitle is Presidential Power in a Time of Terror, subtitle really sung to me because over the weekend I've been working my way through the new book by Jack Goldsmith. And he is a law professor who was recruited into the Bush administration when John Yoo returned to Berkeley after running into political flack from John Ashcroft. And Goldsmith's book is fascinating for its inside view. Goldsmith supports the expansion of presidential powers, supports most of the power grabs of the Bush administration in principle, but as a legal scholar, he apparently left the Bush administration because he was deeply uncomfortable with the methods that they were using. And in particular, Goldsmith brings David Addington out as the heavy in all of these issues. Addington, longtime counsel and crony of Dick Cheney's, is a very powerful figure inside the Bush administration. And his whole approach is grab the power until some stronger force reins us in. And even in arguments that Goldsmith advanced about going to the Republican-controlled Congress to get the Military Commissions Act, Goldsmith argued for it in 2004. They finally were forced by the Supreme Court to seek it in 2006, and I deeply resent that they got what they got. But it's fascinating to look at that view and to see particularly Addington and Cheney really muscling in and grabbing every power that is not reserved to the Congress or the courts.
I think you've really hit the nail on the head, Peter. Goldsmith is somebody who is very smart. He teaches at Harvard. He's written a series of very well-regarded law review articles that I think are often fundamentally things that I disagree with. But you can't second-guess the credential of his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's somebody who, on the bottom line issues, again, can you detain people without due process? Can you use coercive interrogation? One of the issues that he addresses in passing in his law review articles is, can you engage in targeted assassination within the United States? And he comes out on the pro-government side on all these points. But he does that in a very different way from the way that this administration was doing it. For the first few years, across the board, And then since 2004, in fewer ways, but in significant ways, that is, what this administration was doing was seeking and grabbing all of those powers unilaterally, ignoring the other two branches. And Goldsmith's argument has always been, look, we in the executive are always stronger when we have the political support, particularly of Congress. And, you know, as a descriptive matter, I mean, if you look back historically, he's right. If you look back, for example, to the Japanese internment, which was initially a unilateral presidential action by FDR, but was subsequently ratified by Congress, and when the Supreme Court came to judge it, the court looked at the congressional ratification as one of the tipping points in its decision to authorize the Japanese internment. All of which is not to say, of course, that the Japanese internment wasn't a horrible stain on our history.
Well, and just as you're describing that, Aziz Houk, in my last trip to Washington in June, I was just taking a walk and I found the new memorial to the Japanese Americans who were interned during World War II. And my suggestion is that we get started now on the land and the design for a memorial to those who we have abused during this so-called war on terror.
Well, I unfortunately think that we probably don't have a complete list of all of those people yet.
Yeah.
So I think that there's an awful lot still of accounting that remains to be done. And, and in fact, you know, whoever the new Attorney General is, whether it's Mr. Mukasey, who you mentioned, or somebody else, I think that they have a tremendous task ahead of them in reconstructing the Department of Justice, which has really been gutted in the last couple of years, particularly under Alberto Gonzalez's quote-unquote leadership.
Yeah, there's nobody left in the management floor there on level five at Justice.
Well, that's right. I think that Alice Fisher, who is the head of the criminal division, is really the last of the senior Justice Department management who's there.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Keisler, who is the head of their civil division, announced his resignation last week. And we know that within even their civil division, there's very widespread discontent among the staff. I mean, the U.S. News and World Report, for example, told us that about a quarter of the Justice Department staff there have refused to work on the Guantanamo cases.
Yeah, yeah. During the next segment, I want to get a little more detail from you on your thoughts about the conviction that was returned against Jose Padilla in the trial in Miami. Just about a minute remaining, Aziz Houk, before our break. And I just wanted to ask you about one more idea that surfaced in the Goldsmith book. He refers to lawfare as a way that non-state actors use the liberal laws of a nation like the United States in a warfare footing. And he also refers to what he calls derisively the human rights industry and suggests that feel-good efforts that started back after Watergate and Vietnam and Iran-Contra, the Carter era where he tried to link our foreign policy to human rights, that these are all misguided and quaint efforts that don't accept the real-world notions of power. And I'd just like to get your thoughts as a leading light in the so-called human rights industry. Just how offensive is his point of view to you?
Jack Goldsmith has made his academic career in attacking the idea of human rights as a legal body. So he's written a lot on why international law isn't really law. He's done a lot of academic work on why people should not be allowed to bring human rights lawsuits in the courts. So this is not a divergence from any position that he's taken in the past. I disagree with him, obviously. I think that there are two problems with what he says. The first is that he's ignoring the tremendous benefits that the quote-unquote human rights industry have yielded to the world. And you know, the word industry should really be within heavy inverted commas, given that how important the kind of the volunteer efforts of places like Amnesty are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I think that the more fundamental problem, and it's brought out by what you said about his view on power and realism, is that sort of view is never going to be the basis of a successful counterterrorism strategy.
Indeed.
What we have today is a set of opponents that are driven by frustration, anger, and the sensation of being treated as second-class citizens, or the sensation of failure. And what they are capitalizing on is not their strength in relation to ours. It is not their ability to overcome the United States military or its awesome intelligence and national security apparatus. No, what they rely on is the natural and human sympathy that people have for the underdog. What they are relying on is our ability to dig our own grave by taking the realist position.
Well, and I need to go to the break now. We'll pick up as we continue. But it's just very frustrating to me that they are so self-righteous in their belief that the response to terrorist attacks is massive military efforts, as if we can persuade people at the point of a gun or with the delivery of tons of depleted uranium. We're going to take a break and return with Aziz Huq, H-U-Q. His book that he co-authored is Unchecked and Unbalanced, Presidential Power in a Time of Terror. And he is director at the Brennan Center at NYU of the Liberty and National Security Project. If you have a question, he's with us for another segment. Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
North Salinas travels out of the lettuce fields of the valley over to the ocean shores at Seaside to play game number 3. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff.
Hey everybody, happy Monday. Well, yeah, happy Monday. Let's talk about some happy traffic. Can we find any? Let's tell you about Santa Cruz, southbound 1 between Bay Street and Chestnut. The road is closed. In fact, let's get that right. The right lane is shut down for road work. and they have the right lane closed from 7:30 until 4, but they just reopened that lane, so traffic's starting to get back to normal there. Salinas northbound 101 at Potter, fender bender, two vehicles off to the right shoulder. Scotts Valley, Glenwood cutoff at 17, there's a big rig trailer blocking the roadway. And in Greenfield M Avenue at Arroyo Seco, two horses walking in the lanes. A report brought to you by Jaguar Cars. Jaguar, designer of the new 420 horsepower supercharged XKR coupe, 0 to 60 in a blistering 4.9 seconds. Visit your Bay Area Jaguar dealer today.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 24 minutes after the hour, we continue our conversation with Aziz Houk, the Director of Liberty and National Security Project at the Brennan Center of New York University. We've mentioned his book, Unchecked and Unbalanced Presidential Power in a Time of Terror, co-authored with Frederick A.O. Schwartz, Jr. And, Aziz, I wanted to tie together, if you don't mind, the kangaroo court conviction of Jose Padilla in Miami and the less celebrated case of the Lodi Mosque suspect, Hamid Hayat, here in California. He was sentenced to 24 years in prison. And the case is so flimsy, tainted by a paid FBI informant. And what the case established was that this kid from Lodi went on a jihadi dream and ended up peeling onions in some camp in Pakistan. And John Diaz in the San Francisco Chronicle followed up and said, well, gosh, I guess we've blown up that camp. And our government says, well, gosh, we used it to convict this guy, but, you know, we haven't done anything to disable, dismantle, or disrupt those efforts. And when you compare this Hayat case with the Padilla case, I feel that they're quite similar in very flimsy evidence trumpeted by the government and jurors who bought the fear-up mentality that has been pervasive in the Bush years.
Peter, I think you're absolutely right, and your listeners might want to look out for a different book called Liberty Under Attack, which is a collection of essays published by Public Affairs, and I have an essay in there called The New Counterterrorism, which is making precisely the point that you're making about criminal prosecutions in the United States, where what you see in these terrorism prosecutions is the government really relying first, as you say, on informants, and second, on very, very thin evidence of any sort of connection to violence to essentially to get to tot up conviction rates so it can go back to Congress at the end of each year and say, look how well we're doing. And to me, one of the most one of the most important issues of concern is precisely this use of informants. We have had a case here in New York where, in the course of the evidence of that case, it was revealed that at one point in December, I believe it was 2003, the New York Police Department had three different informants attending one mosque in Brooklyn at the same time, all spying, among other things, on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really, you know, something that we were doing in the 1960s with the black churches. If you talk to African American Muslims here in New York City, there's a lot of fear and distrust that a history that they had thought they'd put behind them is coming straight back.
And in this Lodi case, the paid FBI informant was able to testify against this guy. Three of the four charges that got him 24 years are for lying to the FBI. They don't have anything to do with material support for terrorism, and basically they just caught this guy having attended this camp in Pakistan, but there is no connection between any actual events that were planned or occurred in the United States.
That's absolutely right. You know, I think that one, in all fairness, has to acknowledge that the government in many of these cases has a very hard job in identifying persons who, as we know from very bitter experience in Madrid and London, where I'm from, that there are people who are willing to strap on explosives, walk into a crowded bus or walk into a crowded train, and kill the 50 people who are standing around them. And that's absolutely a real and serious and a problem that's not going to go away anytime in the near future.
Right. Well, my nephew was two train stations away from one of the events on 7705. And so, yeah, these things are very real, but our responses are almost cartoonish in too many cases.
Absolutely. I mean, if we, you know, if our responses are, or if the police and the federal authorities' responses are responses that sap the trust of the best information sources that they have, which are the people in the relevant communities themselves,
yeah.
If they are in effect using informants, as in the Hamid Hayat case, in effect to create suspects.
Yeah.
Well, what good is that?
We got to stop here. Aziz Houk, my pleasure. We'll talk again. The book is Unchecked and Unbalanced, the antidote to Jack Goldsmith's new book. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Time for the General to stand and deliver. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. General Petraeus, the man in charge of the surge, is a man of impeccable credentials. He looks at the numbers and says the surge is working. But his report comes at a time when most Americans just don't know who to believe anymore. We've given up on a World War II-style victory, but no way do we want a Vietnam-style defeat. So, let me boil this down to 10 points that nobody can disagree with. Number one, it has been 4 years, 5 months, and 22 days since the first bombs dropped on Baghdad. Number two, the president has been given every penny he's requested for the war. Number three, American soldiers have not shied away from the fight. Very few complain despite repeated deployments, and there are numerous stories of even injured soldiers reenlisting. Number four, despite all that, Iraq is still not stable. Number five, there is no new plan to make it stable. Number six, no other countries are stepping forward to help us. Number seven, Osama's latest lecture, scolding the Democrats for not stopping the war, guarantees they will continue not stopping the war. Because many Democrats are still haunted by their vote in favor of the war, but imagine being haunted by a tape from Osama congratulating them for ending the war. Number eight, we are therefore going to be there forever. Number nine, the leaders who got us into this are never going to be held accountable. And number ten, the military is putting the finishing touches on a plan to attack Iran, which will make all of us forget 1 through 9. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm glad you're listening. We're in again on 1240 Talk City, KSAC in Sacramento today, as Christine Kraft continues on vacation. My lines are open to hear from you. You can join this conversation toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We go into the free speech zone next hour. Wide open for your phone calls. Same number.
If you know what I mean, let's do the wild thing.
My able producer, Katrina Rill, is on the phone right now trying to locate our next guest. If we find him, we'll introduce him. He is Hussein Haqqani, director of the Center for International Relations at Boston University. And he is a Pakistani who has some very interesting comments about the status of politics and security in Pakistan right now. And, of course, Musharraf has to call an election sometime in the next 45 to 60 days. And we have Benazir Bhutto, the daughter of former leader of Pakistan. Bhutto was a general, I believe, and a prime minister. And she served a term or two in the 1990s, was drummed out because her husband was seen as heavily corrupt. And I don't know the actual facts of those issues. And she was replaced by Nawaz Sharif, who was deposed by Pervez Musharraf in a military coup in 1999 or 2000. We're having a little trouble getting a hold of him, so we'll stand by and see if we can find him. In the meantime, I want to share a little more information about something I raised with our prior guest, Aziz Hook. And this relates to the case here in California, one of the terrorism cases touted by the Bush administration, because it did result in a guilty verdict and a 24-year prison sentence for Hamid Hayat. And this is a stinky, stinky decision, which I believe is heavily tainted. Now, I don't dispute the basic facts, which are that Hamid Hayat, as a 20 or 21-year-old kid, took a trip to Pakistan, and that he was at a camp that has since been identified as a terrorist training camp. And there are a number of issues that make me uncomfortable with the conviction and the 24-year sentence that was handed down in a courtroom in Sacramento just a few months ago. And John Diaz, who was on our program last week, he's the editorial page editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. Last week he talked with us about the Republican power grab that would recalculate the way electoral votes are divided in California, ending the winner-take-all approach, and essentially guarantee the Republican nominee in 2008 about 20 or 22 electoral votes from California and turn it into a purple state. Well, Diaz wrote a powerful signed editorial that you can find online at sfgate.com, and it's called The Phantom Terrorist Camp. Now, Diaz has a slightly different take on this than I do, but I appreciate his perspective, because what he is pointing out is that this young man was convicted and will be sent to prison until after his 50th birthday for attending this alleged terrorist camp site in Pakistan. And John Diaz, a good investigative reporter who asked the right questions, says that the government has never explained what became of that terrorist camp in Pakistan where Hayat supposedly was trained to kill. He writes, if investigators were certain enough of its existence and lethality to send one of its trainees to prison for 24 years, then where is the follow-up announcement of it being obliterated with smart bombs or raided by U.S. Special Forces with, dare I suggest, the cooperation of a Pakistani government that's getting $10 billion a year in our tax dollars to fight terrorism? Did the terrorists disperse or set up camp elsewhere? Is the camp operating today? Well, Diaz put the question about the fate of the Pakistan camp to FBI headquarters in Washington, which had put out a 21-paragraph press release about the sentencing of Hayat. He was sentenced on one count of providing material support to terrorists and three counts, as I pointed out, of making false statements to the FBI. An FBI spokesman in Washington suggested that Diaz contact the FBI office in Sacramento. The FBI office in Sacramento said that he would need to ask the U.S. Attorney's Office that prosecuted Hayat. So he called the Assistant U.S. Attorney, Robert Tice Raskin, and asked him what happened to the camp. There was a long silence at the other end of the phone. I'm pausing, he said finally, to contemplate whether there was anything in the public record at the trial related to that. In a follow-up email, the U.S. Attorney's Office said it had no further information that is responsive to your request about the camp status. Now, this is where John Diaz is dead on. Here we have a show trial, and keep in mind that the father of Hamid Hayat was originally accused, was tried in, I think, a parallel trial with his son, and a hung jury resulted, and they're not going to retry the father. But if this government believes that this young man was such a threat to our security, that they're locking him up for 24 years on really vague charges, then wouldn't it follow that it would be a high priority of the Bush administration to connect the dots and do something about this alleged terror training camp that he allegedly attended? Hayat's trial, Diaz goes on, did not provide much insight about the camp that he allegedly attended. A Department of Defense imagery expert says he was confident that satellite images taken in 01 and 04 of buildings in the vicinity of Balakot were of a militant training camp. The long-lens view of the camp was curious, considering that Balakot is not in one of those remote tribal regions along the Afghanistan border. It's a 60-mile drive from the capital city of Islamabad. There were plenty of other unsettling aspects of the trial. The government's case against Hayat rested largely on a confession he made after hours of intense interrogation. There is no doubt that he traveled to Pakistan, that he had a fascination with anti-American jihadists. Prosecutors offered his collection of magazine and newspaper stories, as well as his recorded conversations with an informant who was paid $230,000 of our tax dollars to support their contention that he was a potential evildoer. Hayat had a jihadi heart, the prosecution argued in closing statements. Diaz goes on. However, the prosecution offered no direct evidence to corroborate Hayat's admission of attending a terrorist training camp. Also, his statements to authorities were rife with bizarre details and contradictions. He said, aspiring terrorists trained at the camp with high-powered rifles and swords. But the rail-thin Hayat said he struggled with the weight and power of firearms, spent most of his time washing vegetables and peeling onions. Now that's a real security threat. You know, when you become the best onion peeler in Al-Qaeda, we should be quivering in our proverbial boots. Couple more blasts here from John Diaz's commentary. Questions persist about the adequacy of his defense and the objectivity of the jury. The jury foreman's post-trial comments to the Atlantic Monthly, admitting that the jury's doubts about whether Hayat was a genuine threat, while explaining its unwillingness to take a chance in this age of terrorism, added to the perception that the conviction amounted to an act of preventive detention, a concept that's supposed to be foreign to this free society. The foreman also opined that it's absolutely better to risk convicting an innocent man than to exonerate a guilty one when it comes to terrorism. Here's the closer from John Diaz's editorial. Put aside the questions about Hayat's trial for the moment. Let's assume that everything the government alleged was true, that there was or perhaps is a terrorist camp in the Balakot area preparing jihadists for battle against Americans. I don't feel the least bit comforted by an FBI press release about the conviction of a guy who was washing vegetables there. I want to know that the camp and its leaders are out of business. I'd like to hear your thoughts about this, and particularly our listeners in Sacramento and the surrounding areas. I don't know if KSAC actually reaches as far as Lodi, but I'm sure you're familiar with this case. And if I'm wrong about this, if you think there is substantial evidence that Hamid Hayat deserved the 24-year sentence he's received, I want to know it. I'd like you to straighten me out. My lines are open for you right now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. I'd love to hear from you. We can mix it up and talk about this on the program here today. Well, let's see what else is on my radar here. I want to recommend Frank Rich's column in the Sunday New York Times, the op-ed page, because he did a great job of reprising the testimony of Crocker and Petraeus last week. And I believe that he has raised a very important question. We certainly know the posture of Republicans. But the question he raises is, will the Democrats betray us? He said it's past time for the Democratic presidential candidates to stop getting bogged down in bickering about who has the faster timeline for withdrawal or the more enforceable deadline. Every one of these plans is academic anyway, as long as Bush has a veto. The security of America is more important, dare one say it, than trying to outpander one another in Iowa and New Hampshire. The Democratic presidential candidates in the Senate need all the unity and focus they can muster to move this story forward, and that starts with the two marquee draws, Clinton and Obama. It's essential to turn up the heat full time in Washington for any and every legislative roadblock to administration policy that they and their peers can induce principled or frightened Republicans to endorse. They should summon the new chief of Central Command, Admiral William Fallon, for tough questioning. He is reportedly concerned about our lapsed military readiness, should trouble strike beyond Iraq. And Fallon, we understand, has issued blistering comments right to General Petraeus' face, calling him an ass-kisser. And if there is, steep or deep differences between Fallon and Petraeus, it appears to be leaking out. And it was represented by Secretary Gates on Friday's NewsHour that, it was alleged by Gates that, this is the kind of situation that, I'm sorry, I got distracted and I lost my train of thought. Chris from Sacramento, I want you to call back because you made I just saw your comment on the screen and I'd like to hear you out on the air. So please do call me on that. And, where I lost my train of thought there was that, Secretary Gates is claiming that Admiral Fallon is in complete agreement with General Petraeus on the report that he issued last week and the recommendations that came in. And I don't think that's true. And I'd like to see the Democrats really bring some sunshine to that particular issue. All right, let's go to your calls now. 888-5-PETER-B. Laird is on the line from Eureka. Welcome, Laird.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Peter. First of all, on this thing with Fallon,
yeah?
Didn't Bush said something about Petraeus, and wasn't it Fallon that agreed with agreed with him that the surge was working? Didn't he say that in his speech?
I think Bush has inferred that, but we have not heard from Admiral Fallon.
Okay, maybe it wasn't Fallon. Is there a Ford?
Not that I know of.
Okay, then
Fallon is the CENTCOM commander. And he's a Navy guy who was put in charge of that whole region.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's something else I wanted you to clear up for me, if you could.
That's right.
Last summer, we were disarming the Iraqis, and now this summer, we're arming them and giving them money to police. Is that what I get out of Anbar Province?
Pretty much, yeah. And it's interesting because in that same interview I cited with Gates, he talked about how he's bringing these heavy fighting vehicles into Anbar province to save more American lives. And that seems to fly in the face of what they just told us about how Anbar is all pacified now.
Right. Well, you know.
And, of course, the Sheikh got blown up, but, you know, these things
like
happen.
Progress to me.
Mistakes have been made, yeah.
Okay. Then, finally, one question, and you probably know what it is.
What's that?
What does Bush want? What is he after? Is it oil? Is it power? What does the man want?
They seem to have a messianic view, perhaps driven by Tim LaHaye's, whole stuff
right,
about Armageddon,
rapture,
the rapture, and the Left Behind series.
Right.
That is very fatalistic, and it's the only way you can understand the current rumors, most widely reported in the British press, about our plans to attack Iran. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, unless you think the end of the world is about to come and it just don't matter anymore, Laird. Thanks for your call. There's a book on the way to you that went in the mail today.
Thanks.
Okay. More of your calls coming up in a moment. Grab a line and talk with me. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hey, let's take a look at traffic, give you the very latest. Start off with a problem. CHP told us about a situation. It was in Salinas. Let's see if we still have it. There we go. Okay. Northbound 101 after Potter. It's a crash in the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. Scotts Valley, Glenwood cutoff at 17. Big rig trailer blocking the roadway there. And in Greenfield, M Avenue at Arroyo Seco, still reports of a couple of horses walking in lanes. Looks like they're going to try to corral those animals. Also looking at Santa Cruz, southbound 1 between Bay Street and Chestnut. We had the right lane closed for road work. It has been reopened, so that certainly is some good news. And this report brought to you by JCPenney's. Come to the men's store in JCPenney's for the 40 to 50% off their entire stock of men's and tall shorts. Shirts, that is. JCPenney, every day matters. That's traffic on KRXA. All right.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour, and just after the top of the hour, we're going to get some more commentary on the nomination of Judge Michael Mukasey to replace Alberto Gonzalez at the nearly destroyed
Justice Department as Attorney General. Shane Conidall from the Center for Constitutional Rights will join us. And by the way, it's Constitution Day. How are you celebrating? Let's go to the phones now. Becky in Sacramento, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. Well, first of all, I want to say that I miss Christine, but you're a good stand-in.
Well, thank you very much. I owe Christine some vacation time because she filled in for me back in August.
Oh, you guys are nice.
Speak up a little bit. It's hard to hear you, Becky.
I have a problem with, you know, putting some young kid away for 24 years for, you know, maybe being misguided, maybe being overly believing in some, that there was something to be believed in.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that, you know, some skinny little kid is going to be a big problem.
Well, you know, he's a really good onion peeler.
Well,
and
well,
if you can peel onions and not cry, then you could do a lot of damage, you know, in certain situations.
Yeah, well.
I mean, this is the thing. If our government is really serious about protecting the American people, they've got to stop these monkey trials that involve really lame stories and minor players at best. Jose Padilla was in the so-called or alleged training camp before 9/11. And most people are not aware of that fact. They think, oh, this is a bad guy who, you know, wanted to come and seal up apartment buildings in Chicago, fill them with gas, and blow them up. Well, maybe he had that intention. And if so, he should be thoroughly investigated, prosecuted, and sentenced, you know, appropriately. But to throw him in a Navy brig, to violate our own procedures and laws in order to win what is a ridiculous conviction. I mean, basically, they use the NSA wiretap program to find some narrowly, you know, barely incriminating comments. Mostly there were grunts on his part on these tape-recorded calls. And so the evidence is so flimsy, they basically had a form that he had filled out when he went to this training camp, and they say his fingerprints are all over it. Well, I have so much distrust for my government now that I could believe that they put his fingerprints on it well after the fact. And maybe they concocted the whole damn document. And this will not encourage the American people to believe that there are real threats about our country. And it will permit enemies that do exist to really manipulate us and filter through, because our government is focused on really trivial cases. As it says, it's, you know, protecting us to the hilt. I appreciate your call.
Osama bin Laden looks better now than he did it 4 years ago. So,
yeah.
You know.
All right, Becky, thank you very much. Got an email from a well-placed source in Sacramento. Hey, Peter, there was no actual Pakistani jihadi camp ever actually located by our government in the Hayat case. He was convicted, in essence, for bragging about attending a camp they could never even prove existed. Also, the foreman of the jury repeatedly made hanging gestures and comments to the effect that we should kill them all. Yeah, that's fair and just, isn't it, here in the great United States? Let's go to Henry in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thank you, Peter. I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening on the Internet for a while now.
And are you calling on an Internet phone, Henry? It's a real weak connection.
Okay, I'll try to speak up a little bit louder. Is that better?
That's a little better, but it's kind of distorted.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, why don't you call us right back, because I want to hear your comments, but there's too much echo and noise on the line, and it just won't work. So call us right back, Henry, and we'll get a better line. Now to Nick in Monterey. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Stuck in Lodi. Who was that you were talking about?
It's Hamid Hayat. He's a 20-something young man who was sentenced to 24 years in federal prison.
Okay.
Three of the four charges are for lying to the FBI. And the fourth was a really flimsy charge of material support for a terrorist organization.
Alan Greenspan's area. And not far from Peterson's, Modesto, St. Tracy. That Greenspan answers a question today, and that is that it's all over oil.
That's what he says, yeah.
And Greenspan was so reminding me of Cranston that it's funny they're coming up this week.
Tell me why. I knew Alan Cranston.
Huh? Oh, Cranston. He was cold, and he came off like a rancher, but he was so corrupt as crossing his word, look as his looks, not trying to say anything so he can doesn't get away without saying anything, so not like lying.
What exactly are you referring to there?
Alan Cranston,
yeah,
his political career.
Right. I mean, are you referring to the savings and loan stuff with Charlie Keating?
He had there's something there that I around these papers that really nourishes. That's a nourishing thought. There's a tie there of Greenspan and savings and all that. But he they're not doing anything. Just these fires are big because they're standing around.
All right, Nick, I don't follow you there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I covered the savings and loan scandal in depth, including Senator Cranston's involvement, and I'm really not sure how you connect that to Alan Greenspan.
Well, James, the subject of looting this country out is putting everything in the military while our forest fighting ability can be equipped by just a quarter of our military budget.
All right,
well,
that's about six subjects in a minute, and more than I can handle. Thank you, Nick. We're going to take a break and return. Henry, stay on the line. We'll get to you in the next half hour or so. I want to talk with you and get your thoughts about the Lodi case. We're going to kick off next hour with commentary on the new Attorney General nominee from Shane Katadal from the Center for Constitutional Rights. And the rest of the hour is devoted to your phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Our assistant producer is Brian Urban. Our website, peterbcollins.com.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It might be the biggest domestic issue in the presidential campaign, and Hillary Clinton kicked off the debate today.
Every man, woman, and child should have quality, affordable health care in America. We should do it.
Her plan for universal health care would require everyone to have medical insurance, either through their employer or through a federal program, something like Medicare. Insurance companies would not be allowed to turn anyone down.
Clinton puts the cost at $110 billion a year with a combination of tax credits and tax hikes for those making $250,000 or more, helping to defray the cost.
CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod. Republicans were quick to attack. Mitt Romney implemented a similar plan as governor of Massachusetts, but says Clinton is just offering a new version of the plan she championed as first lady.
Hillary care continues to be bad medicine. Hillary Clinton fundamentally believes in Washington. She doesn't believe in the American people.
Rudy Giuliani says the Clinton plan would increase patient wait times and decrease the quality of care. Dole's Heart's Delight bagged salad is being recalled across the United States and Canada. Eric Schwartz, president of Dole Vegetable Division, says E. coli bacteria turned up at a Canadian supermarket.
We put out the recall as a precaution so that in the event a consumer still has the product at home, they'll know to discard it. I think it's important to note there have not been any illnesses reported.
The salad has a freshness date of September 19th. President Bush has nominated former federal judge Michael Mukasey to be the next attorney general.
He knows what it takes to fight this war effectively, and he knows how to do it in a manner that is consistent with our laws and our Constitution.
Senate confirmation seems assured. Influential New York Democrat Chuck Schumer was prepared to oppose anyone he considered too partisan.
For once,
The president did not choose the path of most resistance.
We won't see or hear from O.J. Simpson till midweek.
This is Steve Futterman in Las Vegas. O.J. Simpson remains in jail, and he's likely to stay there until at least Wednesday. That's when formal charges are expected to be filed against him. Once those charges are filed, the former football star will appear in court, and the issue of bail will be discussed. For the moment, Simpson is being held without bail. Court officials say he is viewed as a potential flight risk.
Entertainer Brett Summers has died. She was widely known as a regular on TV's Match Game.
For once.
Refereed by host Gene Rayburn, Summers traded quips with panelists Richard Dawson and Charles Nelson Reilly. Summers and her husband, actor Jack Klugman, separated in 1974 but never divorced. She appeared on several episodes of The Odd Couple as Oscar Madison's ex-wife. Brett Summers was 83. The Dow, 39 points lower today, closing at 13,403. This is CBS News.
What's the most important number in your life? Social Security? Cell phone? It might just be your credit score. Your credit score can affect how much you pay on everything from a home, a car, even credit cards. That's why it's so important to stay on top of your credit at FreeCreditReport.com. The higher your credit score, the better chance you have of saving money. Log on to FreeCreditReport.com and find out how you can get your free credit score and report. FreeCreditReport.com. That's FreeCreditReport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
What can you be sure of today? You can rest assured the sun will rise. Somebody will fall in love. Heroes will be born. And even from today, you can be sure of tomorrow. Just as reliably, you can depend on the people of Citgo. Because for decades, we've been delivering a steady, secure supply of Venezuelan oil that helps fuel our way of life, today and tomorrow. Citgo, there at every turn.
Be afraid, be very afraid when you go online. A new report says cyber criminals are getting more sophisticated all the time.
It's not tough to spam you and infect your computer.
It's almost like a franchise operation. People for as little as $1,000 can buy one of these toolkits and get into the spam and phishing attack business.
Marion Meritz with Symantec, the security software maker, she says bad guys are making deals to sell and distribute ways to get your personal info.
They're going where the people are and where you're likely to be very trusting. You won't suspect an email that comes in from a trusted source. You know, even the career websites are a concern these days.
Hackers make big money stealing data, figuring the risks are not as great as the financial rewards. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Doctors at British hospitals won't look like doctors anymore. To stop the spread of sometimes deadly infections, Britain's health department has banned neckties, long-sleeve shirts, jewelry, and even the traditional white coat. They can all carry germs. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, I'm a Han Desk, and all modesty aside, I'm pretty buff. I was built that way. Strong, dependable, handsome. I mean, take a gander at my drawers. Pretty sweet, huh? You want to slam them, don't you? Go ahead, slam my drawers. What, is that all you got? Slam my fully extendable drawers like you mean it. Just tell me when you start.
Uh-huh, it's that tough. Han has a full line of durable office furniture, all backed by limited lifetime warranty. Learn more at GetHon.com. GetHon.com. Han, smart now, smarter later.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox-certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox-certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Are you ready for the next Bush Attorney General?
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
I never thought John Ashcroft would look so good.
Stop beating that bird. Cause here come the judge. Don't nobody bird. Cause here come the judge.
Judge Michael Mukasey has been nominated by President Bush to serve as his third and perhaps final Attorney General. Now we're going to get some comment on it, then we're going to turn to you for your remarks about this and other issues. The free speech zone follows in just a few minutes here. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. For commentary on this nomination, we turn to Shayana Katadal. He's an attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City. He works on the major case on the illegal NSA domestic spying program, largely legalized with amnesty by the Democratic Congress in August. That's the CCR versus Bush case, as well as Patriot Act issues and the case of Turkmen versus Ashcroft. And he might take exception to my little ad lib there that Ashcroft is looking a little better these days. Shane, welcome back to our program.
Well, thanks for having me, Peter.
I say that because I've been reading through Jack Goldsmith's new book, and, you know, he actually entered the Justice Department as the legal counsel to the president because John Ashcroft couldn't get along or wouldn't get along with John Yoo, who is now back teaching law at UC Berkeley. And given the hospital visit where he refused to collude with Gonzalez and Andy Card in offering approval for a still largely unknown presidential surveillance program, is Ashcroft actually looking better in hindsight?
Well, you know, at least, you know, everyone who was associated with the Justice Department and who's left has had the opportunity to sort of, you know, write a book, you know, covering their tales, basically. And you know, certainly I think that jumps off the page with Goldsmith's book. You know, but, you know, at least there's some evidence that Ashcroft has showed a little bit of independence from the White House. I'm a little bit worried with the new appointee that that while people may expect that, there really isn't a lot of evidence in his record to show that he's going to be very independent.
Well, let's get into that. By the way, it is Constitution Day. What are you doing to celebrate?
I'm working late.
And offering
the Center for Constitutional Rights, Peter.
And offering critical commentary. So Judge Mukasey kind of gets a little push here out of the gate, because he's not Ted Olson.
Right, and he's not Larry Thompson, who signed a rendition order for our client Maher Arar, sending him to be tortured in Syria. And those were the two, you know, leading candidates, an insider and a guy with a lot of black marks.
And Chertoff, who's just a total Neanderthal in my book. So Bush is kind of playing along here with the Democrats' call for a consensus candidate. And did New York Senator Chuck Schumer blow it by tipping his hand that he could support Mukasey?
Well, you know, who knows about the sort of strategy behind it, but I think the worry is that that Schumer may be willing to take some of the pressure off the White House on, you know, two critical investigations in exchange for getting someone who's not a total insider like Ted Olson. And the investigations are the U.S. attorney scandal and the NSA warrantless wiretapping scandal as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess only time will tell, really, whether there's some sort of deal that's happened here.
Well, on that score, I've got a New York Times article. I guess it'll be in tomorrow's edition because it's available online now. And it says Senate Democrats threaten to hold up Mukasey's confirmation unless the White House turns over documents they're seeking. And I've been disappointed that Leahy has signaled that he's dialing back on the contempt of Congress, on the demands for those missing emails that Rove sent using non-governmental servers, and many of the other issues that stem from the tainted tenure of Alberto Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the, you know, Congress is absolutely within its rights to not move forward on this confirmation hearing, you know, unless they get the information that they need to be able to, you know, make up their minds whether or not they're going to pass a new FISA statute or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly hope it'll be a rigorous confirmation hearing, but I'm not raising expectations because the Democrats have been so lame in using their Senate confirmation powers to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, and there are an awful lot of really troubling things about this guy. I mean, the first thing that I would put out there is, you know, just sort of from our self-interest, this is clearly a guy who despises the legal left. The two pieces of evidence that your, you know, listeners can find very easily are two opinion pieces he published in the Wall Street Journal, one on August 22nd this year and one a couple years ago in 2004. The old one was about the Patriot Act, where he sort of goes after this American Library Association for, you know, raising a stink about the fact that the FBI can now get your library records without any, you know, sort of open judicial oversight. And you know, he said, well, gee, why didn't these guys go after, you know, Cuba, which imprisoned 10 librarians, you know, last year, as if, you know, that somehow blunts their criticism, or, you know, if anything bad is happening overseas and you don't criticize it, then you can't criticize your own country.
Well, if I were the judge, I'd throw that out. That's not germane or relevant.
That's absolutely right. But the more troubling thing is in the op-ed piece that he published on August 22nd this year, where he said, and I'll just quote a little bit of it, he says, the director of an organization purporting to protect constitutional rights has announced that his goal is to unleash a flood of lawyers on Guantanamo to paralyze the interrogation of detainees. And then he goes on to say, well, you know, if you do that, then maybe we'll just kill terrorism suspects instead of bringing them to Guantanamo, or maybe we'll send them to countries like Egypt or Pakistan.
Oh, my.
Somehow the lawyers are to blame for that sort of thing happening.
That's a little dark. Now, Shane, tell us your thoughts about the way, as a federal judge, Mukasey handled the initial case of Jose Padilla.
Sure. Yeah, this is, you know, Jose Padilla is the so-called dirty bomber, the guy who, a U.S. citizen who was arrested when he landed at O'Hare Airport, coming back from, I believe, Pakistan. And
that was one of the darker moments of John Ashcroft, by the way, the news conference he held in Moscow where he tried and convicted Padilla with no evidence and no process.
Right, right. You know, the Justice Department had to steadily scale back on the allegations that they were making against him. But at first they said, you know, well, this guy is planning to plant a dirty bomb, radioactive waste blown up with an explosive to contaminate some big area of a U.S. city. But they didn't charge him right away. They held him as a material witness, meaning we're just, you know, keeping you in jail so that you'll show up to testify as a witness. And then when they actually had a judicial hearing coming up to justify their detention, they said he's an enemy combatant and he goes into the military system and courts don't get any right to review his detention. Well, you know, one of the big things that people are saying in favor of Mukasey is, well, he did allow that detention to go on, but at least he heard the case, and he said that Padilla had the right to see a lawyer, which the government was fighting tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not a whole lot. I mean, to begin with, the detention was, you know, sort of on a pretext that they were holding him to testify in a grand jury proceeding, and Mukasey actually had a terrible opinion in another case. About this material witness statute, which Ashcroft had used to detain all sorts of people, all Muslim men pretty much, 59 out of 60 people,
mm-hmm.
On the pretext that they were needed as witnesses when they just wanted to have them in preventative detention.
So here's the kind of rosy comments about the judge. Let's see. After the Bush administration resisted his order that Padilla be granted access to counsel, Mukasey sternly wrote in a strongly worded ruling just a few days prior to the Iraq invasion. Lest any confusion remain, this is not a suggestion or a request that Padilla be permitted to consult with counsel. It is a ruling, a determination that he will be permitted to do so. One of Padilla's lawyers, Donna Newman, said, I admire him greatly. And Glenn Greenwald on the web writes, whatever else may be true about him, Judge Mukasey was more than willing to defy the Bush administration and not be intimidated by threats that enforcing the rule of law would prevent the president from stopping the terrorists. So it seems like he's got a pretty good out-of-the-box review. And I'm concerned that some of these alleged Democrats and progressives really have let their guard down and are not really being sufficiently skeptical of this new appointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, for what it's worth, Padilla didn't get to see a lawyer for another 3 years, and he stayed in detention as an enemy combatant, whereas it would have been perfectly reasonable, I think, for Mukasey to say, look, it's absurd to think that you can hold a U.S. citizen without charging him criminally when he was arrested in the U.S., when he's got no connection to a battlefield. And ordered him released and pushed the case along rather quickly that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that. You know, all he said was that he had a right to meet with a lawyer, and the case lingered on for years.
Yeah. So net, Shane, do you think the Democrats are going to cooperate with this? Do you think there'll be some sort of a trade-off that maybe we'll get the Roe v. emails in exchange for letting this confirmation go forward?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a good enough sense of the politics of it to see whether or not, you know, they actually may extract something in the short term. I mean, my reading of the situation so far is that they've actually gotten they've actually made their trade-offs, you know, that they have probably agreed to turn down the inquiry on the U.S. attorney scandal, at least,
mm-hmm.
In exchange for getting Mukasey instead of Olson.
Yeah. Shane, I appreciate your commentary on this. And before we go to a break in about a minute and a half, I just wanted to see if you had any comment on the West Coast conviction here and sentencing of Hamid Hayat. This is the young man who was sentenced to 24 years in prison, the so-called Lodi Mosque case.
Oh.
And we've been discussing it here on the program this afternoon. I think it's a very weak case. Three of the four counts were lying to an FBI officer, and that FBI guy got $230,000 to frame this guy. And so I have deep misgivings about it. Do you have any comment? I don't know if
I believe
you have...
was the fourth charge a material support charge?
Yes, based on his attendance at a training camp in Pakistan well before 9/11.
Right. I mean, this is really one of the biggest issues that people don't know about because it's a little bit sort of pre-9/11. It goes back to Clinton. The material support statute, and the main thing you need to know about it is basically it's a guilt by association statute. You don't really have to do anything that's criminal. You don't have to intend that your support for a group end up aimed at something criminal. It's the worst sort of, kind of communist Red Scare era kind of guilt by association statute, and that's why they use it in every single one of these terrorism prosecutions.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a stinker, and I hope that on appeal it'll be overturned. Thank you very much for your commentary, Shane. Great to talk to you.
Okay, thanks for having me.
And you can visit the website CCR-NY, that's the Center for Constitutional Rights, CCR-NY.org. We're going to take a break and throw open the phone lines here during the break. It's the Free Speech Zone next. I'd like to hear your comments on the Lodi Mosque case, on the media's failure to tell us about the 100,000 demonstrators against the war in Washington over the weekend. We've talked about a lot of other issues, including this new attorney general nominee. So bring it on. Let me know what you want to talk about. My mind and my lines are wide open. 888-5 Peter B is the toll-free number. You dial 3-8, then 573-8372. It's 18 minutes after the hour. We're live in Sacramento again today, sitting in for the vacationing Christine Kraft on 1240 Talk City, KSAC.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel. Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic. We've got a problem right now in Santa Clara, South 101 between Great American Parkway and McKee. Extra slow traffic. Looks like there was an earlier problem there, so we're just going to pass them along. Lexington Hill Summit Road at southbound 17. A big rig unloading equipment is apparently blocking lanes. Looks like they're offloading that equipment because they need to get that stuff off of the truck, as you might imagine. Santa Cruz, southbound 1 between Bay Street and Chestnut. Right lane closed. Looks like they have this lane closed an extra hour. They've just reopened it. Also, Elm Avenue at Arroyo Seco. We still have reports of horses and other animals in the roadway there. And so that's certainly causing problems, as you might imagine. The support brought to you by PG&E. Look for the blue and gold PG&E sticker when buying your Compet fluorescent light bulbs.
Holy cow, Batman, it's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. I've got three lines open, and you can grab one now at 888-5-PETER-B. And if you prefer it numerically, it's not really digitally, it's numerically, 888-573-8372. I'll be live on Air America tonight, sitting in for John Elliott. And as far as I know, his program doesn't appear on any of these great radio stations that carry the Peter B. Collins Show. So log on to airamerica.com, 7 to 10 Pacific time, and I dare you to call in. It's the Free Speech Zone, and Theodora in Santa Cruz is going to exercise her rights next. Hello, Theodora.
Hi. Yeah, I was listening to the, well, most of the show today, and I'm very grateful for it. And the part about, I wanted to comment on the Lodi case.
Please.
And I appreciated that gentleman calling in to say that they never needed to prove that that camp was there. And my comment is they don't need to because they paid for it. I'm serious. It's like the weapons of mass destruction. They knew they were there because they delivered them in 1980s.
And couldn't believe that Saddam would destroy them.
No, because they were such a special gift from his favorite country.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you look at who Pakistan really is and what part they're playing in all of this, I mean, they're a dictatorship. You know, they're obviously, you know, they're purportedly harboring bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
and they're allowed to get away with this. And so it just tells me we're all in cahoots together. Not we, but the Bush folks, the crime family, are all in cahoots together. And even though Sopranos may have won the Emmy for Best Drama, mm-hmm. I don't think the drama we're getting out of the White House is going to win anything.
Well, I'm afraid you're correct about that. What I'm concerned about is that our coziness with Musharraf will blind the Bushies. I mean, Negroponte was there last week, and I described it as licking the boots, but he was cozying up to Musharraf, saying that the issue of deporting his opponent, Sharif, is not our business. It's an internal affair of Pakistan. And that we think the Pervez Musharraf's a fabulous guy.
Exactly. Which
and you know, this just flies in the face of so much reality. Going back to 9/11, it was the Pakistani chief of intelligence, the ISI, who was in Washington, and who reportedly wired $100,000 or had it wired to Mohammed Atta, and that of course was not considered significant by the Zelikow-led 9/11 Commission, Zelikow being a crony of Condoleezza Rice, who now is a bit of an outsider of the Bush administration because he's been critical on certain issues. But, you know, it's just amazing that Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, who I believe contributed the most to whatever did happen on 9/11, and of course we don't know the truth about that, those are the countries that got a free pass.
Well, it's not amazing if you really understand that we are being had, literally. I mean, you know, Bush
W. Bush's grandfather and Bush Sr.'s father was a key player in financing Hitler's rise to power.
Yeah, a war profiteer.
This is really how they do it every time. And so maybe we're getting ready to take on Pakistan. I don't know. But bottom line is they are up to it, you know, up to their necks in financing the enemies we are supposedly fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line, and that's what people need to get. It's not that the Democrats can, you know, pull us out of this war and it was mistaken. No, they're on track. They've raided the Treasury. They've made their people rich. They've created chaos and mayhem in the world and created more and more death, which seems to be one of their criteria for whether you're a good leader or not. It's no accident that Bush is, as you know, when he was governor of Texas, he put more people to death, I think, than any other governor.
Well, and that's
his
apparently
training ground.
That's apparently his sense of peace. When you're dead, you're at peace.
Well, these
and
guys
so
are on
he's
purpose.
He's fighting a war for peace, and it's the dead people who get the peace.
Well, thank you for the show, and if I could encourage you to cover any issue more thoroughly, it's this to stay up on what's happening with the inquiry into the B-52 bombers that had the nukes ready and loaded. Something went on there, and interesting speculation on the internet, and I'm sure you could have some interesting guests who could fill us in.
We are following it, Theodora. The stand down, the Air Force stand down, did not appear to materialize on Friday, so I'm still looking for corroboration on that. Thanks for your call today. Great to talk with you. And she mentioned the Emmys on TV last night. How is it that Alec Baldwin did not win for Best Cell Phone Call to a Daughter? I watched the whole thing, and it just never happened. We'll take more of your calls coming up after a break. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Call us here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. My switchboard is open for your phone calls right now. We call it the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B. You call 1-888-573-8372. And as I mentioned, I get a one-hour break. I'll have a little dinner, and then I'll be on the air again, coast-to-coast on Air America Radio, sitting in for John Elliott, who is not feeling well tonight. And I just learned from Paula at 1240 Talk City, KSAC in Sacramento, that they now carry the John Elliott Show from 9 to 10 p.m. So Sacramentans, or if you prefer, Arnoldsburgians, I'll be live on 1240 tonight from 9 to 10. And do give us a call. The John Elliott Show just underwent a schedule change. And from what I understand, the calls can be a little slow there. So that's your opportunity to get in and be heard all across the country. And I'll look forward to talking with you there. A couple of things that have come in here during the break. I want to thank Henry in Los Angeles, who's been listening online. We tried to get his call on the air, but as he said, I was holding, but the line developed too much static. He's referring to the Lodi Mosque case that we've been discussing today, the conviction and 24-year sentence of young Hamid Hayat. And Henry writes, if a person can't be convicted of the original charge, they should not be convicted of lying, because whatever they lied about is irrelevant. I would even go so far as to compare it to the Clinton impeachment. Ken Starr should not have been investigating something that was not illegal and between consenting adults. Well, you make a good point there, Henry, and in a general way, I agree with you. But for the same reason that I believe Bill Clinton lied under oath intentionally, and that Scooter Libby lied under oath intentionally, I do think that there are occasions where lying to investigators is a reasonable charge to pursue. Now, in the Libby case, I was hoping that it was going to simply be the shoehorn or the crowbar that was going to open up many cans of proverbial worms there. And as a good foot soldier Republican, Patrick Fitzgerald simply left it at Libby. And I believe that if he'd really been aggressive and maybe been a member of a different political party, that he would have pursued that with a great deal more vigor, and we probably would have a Karl Rove trial underway right now. But it didn't happen that way, and gosh, I'm still a little bitter, can you tell? 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join the conversation. Ben in Salinas, thanks for holding on. You're next here. Welcome to the program.
Peter B. Collins.
Yes, sir.
How far do you think we are from Mr. Bush implementing Presidential Directive Number 51, which abolishes Congress, dismisses them, sends them home, no courts have any power, controls all the banks, military, police forces, and transportation, just because he has a bad hair day or gets a flat tire on his bicycle? Mm-hmm. He needs no more than that. It says his interpretation of the national emergency. And why has not yet our Congress, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, done something about our habeas corpus rights? Don't they understand the Constitution of the United States?
On that score, the New York Times lead editorial today, Monday, talks about the Senate plan to fix the Military Commissions Act, and in particular to reinstate habeas corpus for all detainees. And it commends Arlen Specter, and I'm loath to single him out or promote him. He's the guy who said that he thought it was a bad bill, said that it would be overturned by the Supreme Court, and then voted for it anyway. And I think that we are going to see some effort here. Chris Dodd, a senator from Connecticut, Democrat, also running for president, doesn't have a prayer, to his credit, has been the most outspoken opponent of the Military Commissions Act and the most outspoken proponent of fixing it. But I'm not sure that there are 67 votes in the Senate. And again, given what I've read in this Goldsmith book just over the past few days, my sense is that the administration very smugly wants to hold on to every element of the Military Commissions Act. Get this, Ben?
Yep.
From Goldsmith's point of view, this is a guy who left the administration because he differed on the techniques of implementing torture and denying civil rights, okay?
And
he takes issue with David Addington in the vice president's office, who basically has been the proponent of grabbing as much power as possible using the so-called war on terror as the cover for this expansion of presidential power that has been Dick Cheney's wish since 1974.
Okay, Peter.
Yes, sir.
We have the troops out there. They keep on, we're not sure how it's going to go, whether or not we'll bring home 5,000 or 50,000. He's holding the power of life and death over those soldiers. Now, there's a growing call for the impeachment of him and Cheney. Am I wrong in feeling before they will allow impeachment to go forth, we will see Pearl Harbor number 3 or even 4, and then we're in the Halliburton world and the wonderful world of private prisons and Blackwater telling you how much rations you can feed your family, watching every aspect of this country die in front of our very eyes? Is that what we've inherited?
Well, Ben, you're...
I'm very negative, and I'm feeling
Wait, Ben.
Because they're not going to stop
Ben,
looting the Treasury.
Let me just respond here, okay?
Yes, sir.
You ask very good questions. You raise important issues that are often not on the radar of, I think, the average listener, the average American. You tie together issues that our media should be linking, but often fails to do so, probably for the wrong reasons. And so I want you to know that I don't dismiss the things that you say. And I think that you are an important voice in my world and the world of this radio program because you're not afraid to ask these very difficult questions. Now, I want to respond to two things that you've raised.
Yes, sir.
One is, and I'm not trying to sell you anything, okay, but in relation to Bush's long-term intentions, one of the things that I had mixed responses to in his speech last week, but in terms of your context here is somewhat promising, is that he said that the real decisions about getting the U.S. out of Iraq will be made by future presidents. That seems to indicate that he's not planning to stay in office beyond January 20th of 2009 using the emergency powers that you correctly identify that he has grabbed. But to date, we haven't seen his inclination to use them. And so I think that we have a thread there that I want to cling to until it's contradicted.
Well, Peter, I feel they're going to continue to loot the Treasury as long as they can, for as much as they can, because all they care about is their own personal power and isolating themselves from the reactions of what they're doing to us, they're going to put themselves out of reach. And we need to wait to put Rove and Alberto Gonzalez, put those people on trial after he leaves, so they make them pardon proof.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I want full accountability, and I really want to know what has occurred. And so far, the Democrats aren't showing us that they have the will to really take that as far as it should go.
Well, Peter, Ben, God bless America, and I hope my hand in yours that we can keep her.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Appreciate the call. 888-5 Peter B. Next to Salinas. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. About your guest on the, or talking about the new attorney general.
Right.
I think it's kind of irrelevant for the Democrats to really put up a fight. It's too late to show some spine because Bush can appoint this guy interim until his term is over. He can just keep appointing him as the interim, even if they fight and argue and have all kinds of reasons to not approve him.
Well,
he doesn't have to be approved.
You do have a point that it's so late in the term that at Christmas time he could use a recess appointment to put this guy at the AG's office for the remainder of his presidency. I think, though, that we have the potential here for Democrats to really establish important standards and to reject the extreme power grabs of this administration, both domestically and internationally. And again, I don't have heightened expectations of how hard the Democrats will fight, but if you and I let them know that we care about this and that we believe that this is a critical episode, I'm hoping that this is one of the moments where Dianne Feinstein, who disappoints me so often, may actually develop a little spine. And mainly because she's offended that Alberto Gonzalez lied under oath to her. And even if it's personal pique that drives DiFi to really be a tough interrogator of Judge Mukasey, that'll be okay with me. But I really do think that we need to send a message to our Democratic leaders and say, look, we know about this guy. We know that there is kind of a mixed record. Yes, he's not shirt off. Yes, he's not Ted Olson. But that doesn't make him, ideal for the next attorney general of this country.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the call. Now to Jake in Arcata. Welcome, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. How's it going?
Doing okay.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on this Blackwater massacre that took place in Baghdad.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because Ben, Ben mentioned a lot of different things, and I was trying to summon that issue. I understand that as a result of it, Blackwater essentially has been booted out of Iraq.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I just caught the NBC Nightly News' take on it. And apparently the Iraqi government, has wanted Blackwater out for some time, and apparently they are asking Blackwater to leave the country now. And the slant on NBC's story was basically, oh, this is terrible. Blackwater is going to lose business in Iraq. It's very important for their company. And as, their parent company, General Electric, is also a defense contractor, it's kind of funny to watch NBC worried about Blackwater's business. But these civilians who were massacred in Baghdad by these trigger-happy mercenaries, NBC doesn't mention a word about them, doesn't even seem to care. Because, a million dead Iraqis doesn't really count on the American corporate media, Peter.
Yeah. Well, hey, Blackwater has been so poorly covered in the corporate media. The best book is written by Jeremy Scahill, who is a reporter on Democracy Now! And he published a book about Blackwater, I think it was March or April of this year, and really pulled the screen back, the curtain back. And you just see, Blackwater hired a guy named Black, Kofor Black, who used to be one of the top dogs at the CIA. And their coziness with the Bush administration is barely a secret. But for the average American, this is not seemed as important enough to get into the mainstream media. After all, OJ's back in jail.
Well, yeah, we'll be hearing about OJ 24/7 for the next year, I'm sure. We might hear about the presidential campaign, every once in a while.
Let's let me take a minute here. This just came in from BBC News. Iraq has canceled the license of Blackwater USA after it was involved in a gunfight in which at least 8 civilians died. The Iraqi Interior Ministry said the contractor was now banned from operating in Iraq. And Blackwater workers who were contracted by the U.S. State Department apparently opened fire after coming under attack in Baghdad Sunday. They it says the Interior Ministry's Director of Operations, Major General Abdul Karim Khalaf, said authorities would prosecute any foreign contractors found to have used excessive force. Now, one of the interesting things, Jake, as you may recall, Paul Bremer from Kissinger and Associates, that's a little-known fact most people don't talk about, when he was running the occupation in Iraq, he imposed a series of edicts just as he was about to jet out of the country, and one of them was immunity for U.S. contractors. And I learned from Lawrence Korb at the Center for American Progress that last December, one of the either a supplemental or a regular defense appropriation bill included language that removed that amnesty. And these Blackwater contractors and other armed mercenaries in Iraq are now subject to prosecution under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the UMJ, you know what I mean, CJ. And so that's a little bit of progress. They don't have complete immunity the way they did in the past. And, hey, if Iraq can cancel the license of Blackwater, how about Bush's license? Can we cancel that one?
Yeah, maybe we can also cancel the license of Blackwater to operate inside the United States as well. That might be a good start.
That'd be a nice upgrade. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, appreciate your call today. More calls coming up next. Grab a line toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. 48 minutes after the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
And there it is. It's time for the last track report of the night. So we're going to hit you with a bit of slow stuff right now. We're going to tell you that we do have a Greenfield, Elm Avenue, and Arroyo Seco. We've been telling you about animals on the roadway. For some reason, there's still this problem still being reported. Let's hit you with a bit of a problem in Santa Cruz. It's let's see, northbound 1 before San Andreas. It's a large chunk of tire tread in the left lane. Soquel, North Rodeo Gulch, that is, at Laurel Glen. We have a big rig blocking the entire roadway, and so CHP is going to be called out to the scene there. Then we're going to take a look at Lexington Hills, southbound 17, the ramp to Summit Road there. It is a big rig there. Apparently they're unloading equipment there. They're blocking lane. They need to offload some stuff. Gilroy, south 101 after 25, large piece of plastic in the lanes there.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. And there's a lot going on here in the world today. We have a new nominee for Attorney General from the Bush administration. We've talked earlier today about the 100,000 people who marched in the streets of Washington with nary a mention in the corporate media. And right now we are loading a clip that just came in. I want to thank a listener. Let's see if I can... we're typing right now, so hold on. We're trying to enter a lengthy string of letters, case-sensitive, to pull up a video from YouTube. And let's try this. When we get it here, we'll see if we can play it for you. This is an amazing scene that is just developing from Florida today. And that didn't work, Katrina. Anyway, we're trying to, let's see, I think if we're at YouTube, so let's just search for Kerry and Taser, okay? John Kerry was conducting a public meeting in Florida today, and a student in the audience asked him a question about voter suppression. And, that didn't work, did it? Okay, Katrina's going to load it over on the other computer, and we'll try to get it up for you here in just a moment. At any rate, I started to watch this during the commercial break, and it's a little bit stunning. John Kerry is there at a podium, and a student asks him questions about the stolen election in Ohio in 2004 and the so-called voter suppression issue. And what I don't know is why the security officials decided to rough this guy up. They tasered him. And there's this awful video of John Kerry kind of standing there helpless as this event unfolds in front of him. So let me see if we can get the technology to cooperate here and see if we can play this for you on the air right now. Okay, it did load, and so let's see. Okay, we're loading video right now from YouTube.
For a strategy that has failed, that's the distinction. Sir.
I first and foremost want to thank you for your time. You spent a lot of time talking to us here today. I want to thank you for coming and being open and honest. You recommended a book to us earlier. I wanted to recommend a book to you. It's called Our Madhouse by Greg Palast.
Yeah, I have it, actually.
Yeah, he's the top investigative journalist in America.
I've already read it.
And he says you won the 2004 election.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You won in 2004. In fact, there were multiple reports on the day of the election of disenfranchisement of black voters in Florida and Ohio.
So what's the question?
Well, that's my question. I'm going to preface it. He's been talking for 2 hours. I think I can have 2 minutes. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to ask you my question. I'm going to inform people, and then I'm going to
So security guards are pressuring him.
Of disenfranchisement of black voters on the day of the election in 2004. There's also voting machines, electronic voting machines in Volusia County, Florida, that counted backwards. So amidst all these reports of phony, bogus stuff going on, how could you concede the election on the day? How could you concede the 2004 election on the day? When in this book, it said there were 5 million votes that were suppressed that you won the election. Didn't you want to be president? I'm not even done yet. I have two more questions. If you were so against Iran, how come you were not saying, let's impeach Bush now? Impeach Bush now before we can invade Iran. Why don't we impeach him? Impeach Bush. Clinton was impeached for what, a blowjob? Why don't we impeach Bush, all right? Also, were you a member of Skull and Bones from college and Bush? Were you in the same secret society?
That's all right. Let me answer his question.
So now, as Kerry says he's ready to answer his question, the security guards grab him, and they're about to eject him from this auditorium. And a fight ensues. This is a, you know, pretty healthy, active, athletic young man who seems to have a great deal of self-confidence. So now he's being tasered, and he's screaming help. And the video is very jumbled here. We can't make out exactly what is going on. And perhaps security people wrestled the camera person to the ground. So this is all going on as Kerry stands helpless on the stage. Now, maybe I jumped the gun. Maybe he hasn't been tased yet. Sounds like they're threatening him.
This situation will come down. So I'll answer his question. And, you know, unfortunately, he's not available to come up here and swear me in as president.
Why are they arresting me?
So Kerry's trying to make a joke out of it.
Because it's a very important question.
What did I do? Get off the ground!
Okay, and now we see in the video...
Don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me! I can't do it!
So he keeps saying, don't tase me, and now he is being tased. Well, it's Constitution Day. And that's how it was observed at the University of Florida as John Kerry gave a speech. Nobody comes out of that one looking good, particularly John Kerry. I'm Peter B. Collins. On that somber note, I'm going to saddle up and head out. I'll be on Air America tonight, 7 to 10 Pacific, on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, from 9 to 10 p.m. tonight. Meet me there if you can. And we'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Want more energy and protection from disease? U.S. Wellness Meats have an ideal omega-3 to 6 ratio, are 2 to 4 times more plentiful in vitamins A and E than grain-fed beef, have one-third fewer calories, and can slow or even halt diabetes. We have been featured for our exceptional taste in Food and Wine magazine and in the New York Times. We are meat that matters to your health, enjoyment, and to our ecology. U.S. Wellness Meats, 1-877-383-0051 or online at www.uswellnessmeats.com. That's 1-877-383-0051.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
America needs to provide health insurance for all Americans.
Hillary Clinton unveiled her health care proposal today.
I will start by banning insurance company discrimination. Right now, insurance companies have free rein to cherry-pick the healthiest patients and shut out anyone who seems to them like a bad risk.
Her plan would require insurance for everyone, either through work or through a government program. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports this is shaping up as a major issue in the presidential campaign.
Republicans like Rudy Giuliani and Mitt Romney in general fear that what Mrs. Clinton is proposing will one day lead to larger federal control of the private insurance market. She is proposing that everybody in America must buy private health insurance. But what the Giulianis and the Romneys fear is that one day that will mean a lot of minimal federal standards, very expensive insurance, a big budgetary outlay, and what they call socialized medicine.
President Bush chose the sunny White House lawn to introduce his nominee for Attorney General, former federal judge Michael Mukasey.
Judge Mukasey is clear-eyed about the threat our nation faces.
In New York, he presided over some high-profile terrorism cases, and he's written on the subject. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the confirmation process looks swift and easy.
Happily surprised, President Bush chose someone without close political ties to the White House. Senate Democrats like New York's Chuck Schumer welcomed the Mukasey nomination.
Judge Mukasey has a reputation for integrity, and that is the most important thing right now.
The top Judiciary Committee Republican Arlen Specter says he hopes they can move fast because the Justice Department badly needs new leadership.
The vacancies and the disarray of the department make it an unusual situation.
But there will be an investigation and then a hearing, but as of now, confirmation does seem very likely. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
O.J. Simpson, arrested yesterday in connection with that confrontation at a Las Vegas hotel room, will be jailed at least until Wednesday, the date set for his arraignment. Sooner or later, CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen expects some sort of deal.
From deciding what happens to O.J. Simpson on bail, to what the evidence is, to the role that the Goldman or Nicole Brown families may have had in all of this, to the role of the police. In other words, there's a lot for defense attorneys to work with.